Do you need advice for your fantasy football team? How about your DraftKings or FanDuel lineup? GoingFor2.com has you covered. GoingFor2.com has exclusive content from some of the best fantasy writers in the industry, whose credentials include Bleacher Report, Fantasy Pros, and Fantasy Life. From advice columns to player ranks, GoingFor2.com has it all. Sign up for our newsletter to have all of our content sent to your inbox. Start winning today. Visit GoingFor2.com, because no one remembers the extra point.
Subscribe to TalkLoud Radio on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play, or download the Podbean app on the App Store or Google Play, and search for TalkLoud Radio, all one word.
You are now listening to TalkLoud Radio, sports, nerds, and pop culture.
I tell someone I'm a Heat fan, they always go right back to, oh, he must be a fan just because of Ron.
I mean, they were good at one point, you know, when they had Iverson.
So I would say you gotta subscribe to this podcast and my podcast.
What's up, podcast world?
What is going on, guys? All right, welcome to today's episode of GoingFor2.com's Press Coverage Podcast, presented by Talk Loud Radio. I'm your host, of course, Jeff Lambert. You can follow me on Twitter at JeffLambert77. It's Jeff spelled G-E-O-F-F. All right, guys, we're going to skip Shane's section tonight. He actually couldn't make it for the podcast. We're going to do the podcast for him tomorrow. I'll try to find another guest to come on tomorrow night to make the show an hour long. But Shane couldn't make it tonight, but we did get Gerson and Jason to come on tonight again. I think last week's podcast worked out really well with the three of us on, so I'm going to go ahead and do it again. We're going to be breaking down the FanDuel main slate, so just the Sunday games. We're not going to concentrate on the Thursday or the Monday games, so just looking at the Sunday games this week. Jason, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing pretty good. Getting excited for week 7.
Good deal, Gerson.
I'm just really stuck for.
Good deal, Gerson. You there?
Yeah, I'm here. How you guys doing?
Good. How was your week 6, Jason? You do okay?
Yeah, I did really good on cash games. Alex Smith almost killed me with his awesome performance. It was amazing. I could not believe it. But luckily, you know, I got saved by a couple players here and there. But, you know, I don't know. Last week was really interesting. Like, the weather really did affect a lot.
Yeah, I agree. How'd you do in your tournaments, Gerson?
I did good. Overall, I profited. I cast in the monster. It's just a good week overall. I mean, a couple of things I could have done better. I should have been like Jason said, the weather. I'm a big firm believer. I don't care about the weather. Like, I don't overreact. But I guess, like, I have friends in, you know, Oakland. So, and I was asking them, and they said, oh, it looked clear. It looked good, man. And then next thing I know, like, 10 minutes before kickoff, he tells me, dude, it's raining. I'm like, is it raining like you can go outside and shower, or is it like raining like, you know, like
is Noah gonna show up eventually or something? I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm like, I was just pissed off because that's the thing about FanDuel, and now I'm glad they did it on DraftKings. You can't do no more late swaps. I don't know if they did it in the NFL too, but only in the NBA so far. So, but I don't know. You know what you get yourself into when you play with FanDuel. So yeah.
Yeah, exactly. No late swaps. I agree with you. I like the switch to no late swaps personally, because you know, I work nights a lot of times, and that means I have to check for two different locks. I have to go, you know, at 6:30 and check the 7 o'clock lock, make sure nobody's out, and then go back at the, you know, the 10 o'clock, you know, hour and look and see, make sure there's no one for the late game swap. So now I can just check it once, and then whatever happens happens after that. So I'm definitely down for the switch. All right, guys, you ready?
We can take our old man nap.
What was that?
So we can take our old man nap.
Exactly.
We're not lined up for anything. I can go straight to bed and not worry about anything. I don't have to worry about DeMarcus Cousins being scratched or anything.
Exactly. You wait for lock, take your nap, and get up and see how your team's doing. Exactly. All right, let's go ahead and jump into the slate here. We'll start, as usual, with the quarterback position. We'll start with you, Jason, looking at some cash game options here. Just the top tier guys that we're looking at, like Tom Brady, of course, Matt Ryan's up here, Drew Brees, Derek Carr kind of sneaks into that top tier a little bit. I don't know if you go down as far as Andrew Luck. Are there any of these top tier quarterbacks that you're looking at for your cash games this week?
I'll be honest. I actually thought I had it. I thought, oh man, this is my quarterback and everything. And then I just recently had a buddy of mine. He just sent me his cash lineup, and it had Bortles in it. And I was like, why would you have Bortles? And then I looked more into it, and I was like, okay, they're playing Oakland. This isn't that. He's 7,400. Yeah, he should meet his, you know, he should meet his dollar per dollar value. He should get at least 20 points against Raiders. He's 7,400. I like Bortles. I think he's in a good spot. You know, the Jaguars aren't running the ball that much, and even if they are, they're not efficient with it. So, you know, the Jaguars will be going. My other quarterback that I really do like and I will pay up for this week is Tom Brady. It's just plain and simple, plug and play for me. Angry Brady, that's where it's at.
All right, yeah, definitely. What about you, Gerson? Are any of these top-tier quarterbacks here worth playing for the GPP lineups?
He did mention Blake Bortles. I mean, but one way I'm going to go is Andy Dalton at 8,100 for the putrid, awful Cleveland Brown defense at 8,100. So stack him with AJ Green, and it looks very nice. So I like him. And then more, I'm really going to target this game quite a bit. Probably more than other people too, but Detroit and Washington game. I really like Kirk Cousins in this matchup. The Lions are among the worst, if not the worst, against quarterbacks and wide receivers, basically. So I like that game, but I'm not going to have a stack with Kirk Cousins. I'll probably go naked with him, but it's just. It depends, and you can go back with Matthew Stafford. I like Matthew Stafford as well at 7,900, and it just depends how you want to do it. But I need him. I don't know the update on what's his name, Josh Norman. Like, he's still, I don't know, he's on the injury list, and then, you know, you just don't know. But, like, it depends how you want to do it. I mean, you guys saw how he did last week, so, yeah.
Good deal. Yeah, I'm actually I just wrote up some of my articles that'll be out tomorrow, and I mentioned Kirk Cousins, and you know, against the Detroit Lions, which they are actually the worst team now, giving up points to quarterbacks. They actually passed the Atlanta Falcons, who were the worst before that. And the stat that I gave over the last 3 weeks, you know, the Falcons have faced good teams. They faced Cam Newton. They face Drew Brees. You know, they face some good quarterbacks. So there's a reason that they're ranked towards the bottom. Where you got the Lions, in their last 3 weeks, they faced Case Keenum, Brian Hoyer, and Carson Wentz. So not exactly the top-tier quarterbacks, yet they're still giving up the most fantasy points to quarterbacks. So I definitely love your Kirk Cousins call. The only thing I'm a little scared with Kirk Cousins is he's not as good on the road as he is at home. But I think if Jordan Reed is back, I think they can go up to Detroit and put some good numbers up. So I definitely am with you on that Kirk Cousins call. And then I think my guy that I'm really looking at as far as top tier guys go, and that's Matt Ryan. I think he's much better at home than he is on the road, traditionally speaking. They're in the dome this week. He's averaged over 30 FanDuel points in home games this year. Now, granted, he's only played two home games. It's kind of crazy. They played six games total, and he's only played in two home games. They've been on the road a lot. But they're going up against San Diego. San Diego, I think, is a bottom 10 defense versus the quarterback position. They're not a very good pass defense. They're missing a couple key pieces in their secondary. So I think Matt Ryan and Julio Jones, if you can afford to stack those two, I don't know, that's a pretty expensive stack, but I think they have a big game this weekend. I think that's probably my top-tier guy, even a little bit over Brady, I think. I think Matt Ryan is probably my top guy. What do y'all think of Matt Ryan, Jason?
I like Matt Ryan. I like him for cash games. I like him for GPPs. I mean, he's 8,700. It's not like he's going to kill you.
I mean, there's Tom Brady at the top. You got Aaron Rodgers just right below him at, with 8,600. Please don't play. Oh, wait. Sorry. I just committed a party foul. Sorry. Podcast foul.
It's all right. I know we're doing.
We don't talk about the Thursday night game or the London game. I'm sorry. But, yeah, you know, like, I like Matt Ryan. I think they're just slinging the rock. They're going. And it's like you said, I mean, Matt Ryan, you know, even though even at, like, his away games, he's done great. He's got 22 points against Seattle, 15 points against Denver, which isn't too bad. And, I mean, he just does well, and he's been doing good this year. And I would target him. And it's like you're saying, you can stack him, and that's perfect. But I wouldn't preferably stack in cash games. I mean, you don't have to go that route. But if you want to, you can. But I don't do that.
I agree with the don't stack in cash game, especially a stack that's that expensive because the rest of your lineup's going to suffer. But I could see a stack like that in GPP because you are looking for some of those high upside guys. You have to have some of those cheap values. I think Matt Ryan, Julio Jones could be a good GPP stack. But, yeah, definitely wouldn't put them in a cash game. What do you think of Matt Ryan, Gerson?
I like him. He's kind of expensive, though, for me, for my taste. I'm a GPP player, so paying, he's what, 8,700? Mm-hmm. Or what is he?
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, 8,700. I mean, just with, what's their name? With that stat, you got Matt Ryan and Julio Jones, it adds up to about $17,900. They are projected, for me, probably the highest stack, like point for point, you know, but not point per dollar, you know.
Right.
So, to me, I mean, if you want to stack Julio Jones, Matt Ryan, it's great. Another thing we'll talk about later is there is a lot of good values at other positions, but it depends the way you want to go. So I like the call. I mean, Matt Ryan has been killing it. He's the number one quarterback right now. So, and I feel freaking disgusted saying that he's the number one quarterback right now because he's just killing it. He every week. He, I swear, I promise you, he hasn't been lower than probably higher than 10% owned, I bet. But this week, he could be a little bit higher owned, so I'm going to be on him.
Agreed. All right, so we kind of mentioned some of the mid-tier guys already, the Blake Bortles, the Kirk Cousins. Are there any quarterbacks on this slate today that we're looking at for, like, sort of really cheap value? I mean, are you going down as far as Colin Kaepernick or Alex Smith is a little bit farther down there? Any of these guys? Are we playing Landry Jones at all? You know, with Pittsburgh going up against New England. Jason, we'll start with you.
I will not play Landry Jones with that mustache. Never. Landry Jones is horrible. if he has that mustache, I will never play him. He's just horrible. And plus, I guess the Patriots defense is not that bad. I mean, they get some turnovers, and once they get going, they get pretty good. Like, you know, they'll get interceptions, they'll get fumbles. I mean, they got, what's that guy's name, Nikovich? They got him back, and they've been playing, you know, they've been balling out. And I like the Patriots' defense against Landry. Landry can't throw. I don't know. I mean, actually, you do know, Jeff. I know you played Landry during the preseason, and you remember how horrible he was.
Yes.
So, no Landry for me.
Exactly. Gerson, what about you? Any cheap quarterbacks you're looking at this week?
I'm amazed Jason didn't mention him, but I guess I got to be the okay.
Say it.
I'm going to play Geno Smith.
Yes,
I'm going to play Geno Smith. The thing is with Geno Smith is that nobody likes him. So nobody likes him. And sorry, I'm trying not to laugh so hard, but nobody likes him, and he's going to be lowly owned. He's $5,000, and he's facing the Baltimore Ravens. They allowed three touchdowns, 400 yards to Eli Manning. They allowed Kirk Cousins for 261 touchdowns. Carr got four touchdowns and 200 yards, and Bortles still got three touchdowns on them. He had a terrible game, though, but we all know how bad Bortles has been this year. So they're allowing about 264 yards and 2.5 touchdowns a game. Just give me Geno at $5,000. I mean, I understand people are going to say, what if there's value elsewhere? I'm like, well, if I can just save on my quarterback and not have to put value play that running back or wide receiver, I'm going to do it. But Oh, wow. Can't believe I'm talking this much about Geno Smith. Okay. I'm trying to hold myself. But the thing is with Geno Smith, he can run too. The Ravens just lost Terrell Suggs. I don't think he's going to play this game. He has a torn bicep. And they allow a lot of – they're just horrible against the quarterback. But – you know, he's $5,000. I don't mind him as cheap. Like, last week, everybody made fun of me for, like, my take on Colin Kaepernick. I was like, he's going to need value. He can get value on DraftKings, you know? And he can do pretty decent. I told nobody to play him on FanDuel, though, of course, because his price was, like, $6,800. But that's $1,800 more than Geno Smith this week. But that's just my ballsy, low value play. But
That's really ballsy. Like, I can't buy in Geno Smith. There's no way I'm playing Geno this week. I mean, if you look at last week when he came in, he threw the ball six times.
That's the Cardinals defense.
He threw an interception in six passes. Like, I don't know.
That's against the Cardinals defense. You're going to talk Baltimore's defense compared to their pass defense. And I don't, unless Ed Reed and McCallum. Ray Lewis is playing on the Ravens, then, yeah, man, I'm not going to play Geno Smith. But this is a total different Baltimore defense, and especially with their leader being out. You know, it's just $5,000. But I understand, like I said, I don't fault anyone for making fun of me or, you know, giving me shit for this. So, whatever.
That's okay, because I'm gonna get some shit for my call here. I'm actually going to go with my cheap quarterback is Colin Kaepernick. And I know everyone's like, oh, you're just a homer. And maybe I am. Maybe I'm just picking my quarterback. But I think he has the highest floor of all these cheap guys because of his rushing. I mean, he had 18 points last week in a game that he missed on two deep throws that he could have had for touchdowns. You know, he would have had a huge season, or a huge game if he had hit those two throws. He had 8 rushes for 66 yards. You know, his floor is like I said, higher than any of the other quarterbacks in this sort of low-tier category. I think he's going to continue to run the ball. You know, Chip Kelly likes to run the ball. Carlos Hyde is injured, so I can see him running the ball even more this week. I think his floor is just too low to ignore, and he's only 6,500, so he's not going to break the bank for you. I think you can still afford to get some, you know, top-tier guys. But I do like Kaepernick down here. What do y'all think of Kaepernick? Go ahead and kill me for it.
It's not a bad play. I don't mind it. I mean, like, it can go either way for GPP. These are GPP plays for me. I am not touching them in cash. You're right about Kaepernick, though. I mean, he got 18 points last week, and he did great. I mean, if he didn't do horrible, like, with how many yards? 66 yards rushing. That's pretty dang good.
Yep.
And I'll take that any day. And my thing, and I know Gerson does the same thing too, we give a bump to any quarterback. And a quarterback is a much better player at home. Don't believe me? Go look at Big Ben. Go look at Drew Brees. Those are players that they're superstar caliber players. But when they're away, they play like crap. They are horrible. So I'm just saying, if they're at home, I give them a bump.
Go ahead, Gerson. What's your thoughts on Kaepernick?
I like that call. He's at home. I am kind of worried about the running game, though. So that's going to be a question I'll probably ask later about, since you're a 49ers fan and very, very a homer. but, you know, it's just – I like Colin Kaepernick. Like I said, I was on him last week, and I got a lot of heat for it. But, ha, who got the last laugh? Not you. I did. But the thing is, again, that salary is a little bit too high for me still. So, I mean, like, it's just – okay. I know I just mentioned Geno Smith. I feel like we're spending a lot of time talking on shit quarterbacks, but, you know –
Gerson loves some Geno Smith. Mark that down. That's going on Twitter right there. Gerson is in love with Geno Smith.
No, I'm not. But it just, you know, I like Colin Kaepernick with his rushing upside and no Carlos Hyde. He can literally get 100 yards in this game because he's probably going to keep the ball. You know, they do those read options, and what's his name? Chip Kelly. He loves to run the ball with the quarterback, so. You know, he can get 100 yards and a touchdown passing. He's going to meet value and do good. Or he's going to need more than 100 yards passing, of course. But But, you know, I like that call. Yeah, good call.
All right, all right. Anything else y'all want to mention before we move on to the running back position?
Nope. All right. Yeah, I got one more call.
All right, go ahead.
One more call. Man, it's just I have to write. I just keep looking at him, and I have to keep writing him. Marcus Mariota, he's doing really good, and I understand what's their name. They're going to run the ball a lot, but Indy pass defense, DVOA, not the best. I mean, they've done pretty well against these other quarterbacks, but, like, I think Mariota is a much better quarterback than Brock Osweiler, that's for sure. And, you know, I really like him in this position. I mean, they have one of the highest over and under. I believe right now they are at 25. And so, you know, I think it can be a good game for him. So he can be lowly owned for sure.
Yeah, I agree. He definitely be lowly owned for sure. Now you just threw out the DVOA. I was going to wait till we got to running back to mention that. I know you wanted to talk about it a little bit. So since you mentioned it, why don't you go ahead and explain what DVOA is?
So here's the thing: like a lot of people, they use defense versus position points per game allowed. I'm not a big fan of that. And the reason why is basically last week we had the number one run defense, according to what's their name? I don't know. Whoever you said, you hit it on the pod, like, what is it called? PD, when announcers say, oh, they have the best run defense in the league, you know, and blah, blah, blah. But in reality, defense adjusted yards above replacement. That's what DVOA is, like, basically is. So I'm taking the defense versus the players they played. And last week it was the Packers versus Ezekiel Elliott. The Packers faced, and I said it last week on the podcast, they faced three running backs that weren't that great. I think Ryan Matthews, Theo Reddick, and I can't remember the other. Oh, the New York Giants running back. They played AP week one or whatever week it was. But really, they haven't played anybody. So what DVOA allows you to do, if you look up the rankings on, if you go to Football Outsiders, they have great stats on DVOA. It'll tell you exactly how they're ranked. So it implements the value of the team versus the strength of the other team running back, but like the individual person, like Adrian Peterson, DeMarco Murray, you know, how strong they are. And it takes everything together, like all the stats, and combines them together. And that's one thing that I noticed that a lot of people don't do. They don't take DVOA into account, and they need to take it into account because it's more accurate than defense position. Because everybody knows that the first couple of weeks is the hardest, but we saw it last week. If Ezekiel Elliott would have gotten his true touchdown that he should have gotten in the red zone, that guy would have crushed value. He would have gone about 32 points. I mean, he had, 150 yards, was it, last week?
Yep, yep.
140? So, I mean, I told everybody, I'm playing Zeke. He's going to be one of my top players, and he did good. I mean, he got, like, 17 points. He met cash game value, not GPP value, but still, it just, he would have gotten no touchdown. He would have crushed it. So, that's kind of an example of what I tell people about DVOA. It's just more accurate, and it's more... like, it's like a WOBA in baseball. I don't know if any of you guys play baseball, but WOBA includes everything together, and this is what DVOA is to the NFL. So,
right.
I really like it. Yep. So, yeah, that's my take on it.
Yeah, definitely. I said I have a friend that, you know, posts a lot of the DVOA stats in one of our chat rooms, and we definitely use that because you're right. I mean, Green Bay Packers were the number one ranked defense going into the league or going into the week last week, and we all said it on the podcast that they hadn't played any running backs. And I know you had mentioned they faced Adrian Peterson. That's actually the game that he got hurt. I think he had 5 carries in that game, and then they brought in Jerick McKinnon. So, you know, they didn't face any top running backs or any top running offenses at all, you know, in those first few weeks. So when they went up against the Dallas Cowboys, you know, everyone was expecting them to stop Ezekiel Elliott based on the numbers. But when you broke it down game by game, you knew that that wasn't going to happen, that Zeke was going to get his numbers, and he definitely did. Could have had a much bigger game, but still ended up being pretty good. All right. Now let's go ahead and look at the running backs for this week. At the top of the list, of course, there is David Johnson, who's just been a monster. I actually thought that the Jets would slow him down. I was very, very wrong on that. He had three TDs, so I'm definitely not going to bet against David Johnson anymore. We got LeSean McCoy, who's been a beast, but he's got a hamstring injury, so we're not sure if he's going to play or not. The aforementioned DeMarco Murray, we got Le'Veon Bell up here. And Melvin Gordon sneaks in there at the top tier with an $8,000 price point. I don't put him in the top tier necessarily, but based on his price, he is in the top tier. Jason, are any of these top level running backs good for cash games this week, or are you looking elsewhere?
First off, let me throw in my little, you know, bragging thing. I told you so, Jack. David Johnson is going to do amazing. When you posted that...
You're absolutely right. I thought they were going to slow them down. Their run game, when their run defense was good going into that game, and they stopped some good running backs. I guess David Johnson is just he's just too good. I guess.
David Johnson is the GOAT right now. He is amazing. I love him. I have him in like two out of my three fantasy leagues, and I'm just so excited to own him. Like, he's awesome. But let's get back to business here. My top running backs. You know, if I want to pay up, I'm gonna look at DeMarco Murray. DeMarco Murray, you know, he gets a lot of volume. For the last 3 weeks, he's got 25 plus attempts, and also his red zone usage is amazing. You know, it's either Mariota or DeMarco Murray that's gonna get the red zone usage, and I mean, I'll take it all day. I like DeMarco Murray at his price range of 8,700, and you know, he also gets reception, so. Hands down to me, he's one of the top plays for cash games at running back.
Good deal. Kirsten, what about you? Any top tier running backs you're looking at for your GPPs this week?
Yeah, I'm going to look at Le'Veon Bell. I mean, Jason did mention DeMarco Murray, which I love him too. But after DeMarco Murray, I think I'm going to be on Le'Veon Bell. I see a lot of people like saying, oh, I'm going to fade Le'Veon Bell too. You know, like, I know it's Landry, but it doesn't mean that the running game is going to suck all of a sudden. The Steelers' offensive line is ranked among the top five at running the ball. And last year, in four games without Big Ben, Le'Veon Bell averaged about 24.7 touches, 125 yards a game, and 0.5 touchdowns a game. So you give me that, I'm going to take it. And he's 8,600. It's not like it's going to kill your salary. So, I mean, compared to what, like, he was last week at 9,300, come on. I mean, if you're going to play him last week at 9,300, why not play him at 8,600? I understand it's the New England Patriots defense, but I take volume and touches, and I think Le'Veon Bell could be a very good leverage play to DeMarco Murray at that price.
Yeah, I'm definitely with you on Bell. I actually wrote him up in my article, and it's funny you mentioned that stat. I think you had posted that stat in one of our group chats or on Facebook somewhere. So I actually took that stat and I used it in my article. But I also use it in a different way because you mentioned that, you know, touched the ball almost 24 times a game. He had, you know, 125 yards, total yards with Big Ben out last year. In three games this year, he's got 24 touches per game and is averaging 146 yards per game. So in other words, the guy touches the ball a ton. He's in a rack of yards. I know Bill Belichick likes to take away the opposing team's best weapon. I think with Landry Jones back there, it sort of negates Antonio Brown a little bit. So I think Belichick will put his abilities against Le'Veon Bell to try to shut him down, but I don't think they're going to be able to. They move him around too much. They line up with wide receiver. He's lined up in the backfield. He'll start in the backfield, then go out to wide receiver, or he'll start as a receiver and go back into the backfield. There's just too many things they do with him that I don't think that the Patriots can slow him down. So he is definitely my top play. I like Murray as well. Either one of those two guys you definitely can't go wrong with. Let's go ahead and move down to this middle tier here where it gets pretty ugly in here. There's not a whole lot that I really like here, but let's just mention couple guys in the mid tier that are here. We got Christine Michael was a good play last week. Devontae Freeman. We got Spencer Ware was a good play last week. We got Terrence West on the slate. Jamal Charles, we're not sure what kind of workload he's going to get, but he's kind of in that mid tier as well. Is there anybody in the mid tier that you like for your cash games, Jason?
No. I am paying down. I am paying down when it comes to my second tier running back. I'm going to go straight value. There's no one I like at all. I just look around, and, you know, you mentioned Christy Michael. He doesn't have the matchup for me. I'm just paying down. There's nobody. I don't see anybody.
Okay, what about you, Gers? Anybody you like in this mid-tier?
Yeah, I absolutely see someone that I absolutely love, and I'm going to have my shares of him, and I understand he's in a running back by committee, but he, if you look at the last three weeks, he's still getting the most volume out of them too. I'm talking about Devontae Freeman at 7,500. He has the matchup versus San Diego. They're ranked 21st in DVOA versus the run, and they're ranked against the pass. They are ranked, let's see here, have it right here real quick, 20th. So overall, it's a good matchup for him. And not only that, we're looking at the Vegas. If you look at Vegas, they are projected to score 29.75 points. And I'm pretty sure that's going to move up sooner or later, and it's going to be closer to the 30 points. So I'm going to take that. Devontae Freeman on the road. And to be honest, the San Diego Chargers defense does not scare me at all. I mean, it's just, and it's Atlanta. They did really good. They did good in against the Broncos. They did good against Seattle. San Diego Chargers defense doesn't scare me at all against Atlanta. So I like Devontae Freeman at 7,500.
Yeah, I think I'm with you on Freeman as well. I do like Freeman. I probably won't have too much exposure to him because I am worried about Tevin Coleman a little bit. But Freeman definitely has that upside for a GPP play where, you know, if he gets the volume over Tevin Coleman, if he shows that he's just, you know, the hot hand, so to speak, I think he's definitely a good call against San Diego. He'll get, you know, involved in the passing game as well. He gets the volume, so I think he's definitely a good call there. I don't have any other mid-tier guys that I like either. I think I'm fading most of these guys here in the mid-tier. I don't like any of them. Some of them are starting to lose touches. Like LeGarrette Blount has gotten less touches over the last few weeks now that Tom Brady's back. Jeremy Hill is losing touches to Giovanni Bernard. I want nothing to do with that. I don't know what to do with Jamal Charles and Spencer Ware because who knows how that workload is going to shake out. Matt Forte is injured, and he hasn't been very good lately either. All right, so let's go ahead and jump down into these true value guys down here. Jason, you got some guys down here you like?
I like Jacquees Rogers. That guy's a beast. He's 5,600. This game projected for 24.5 points, so there's going to be some points on there on the board. When he played last time, he got 30 rushing attempts, and he had about 35 touches in the game. That, to me, just shows how much confidence they have in him and how much they will use him. I mean, they are playing the 49ers, and, well, I think...
Why you got to say it like almost, that? It, why you got to say they are playing the 49ers?
Because you already know this. Like, it seems like we're just repeating ourselves every podcast. Like, we're going, they've allowed 3 100-yard rushers. They've allowed 4 100-yard rushers. They've allowed 5. Oh, here we go. So every week, they've allowed a 100-yard rusher, and I'm going to go down to Jacquees Rogers. I don't care if he's, you know, not, like, superstar status. But, I mean, it's just the 49ers can't stop the run. And to me, Rogers he's game script proof, too. He can catch and run. So I like him at 5.6.
Gerson, who you got?
Well, I understand you guys are saying that there was no mid-tier players you guys like, but to be honest, we've got to think about, like you did mention Spencer Ware and Jamal Charles. We have to think about what happened a couple weeks ago when it was the New Orleans Saints and Atlanta Falcons. The Atlanta Falcons ran all over the New Orleans Saints. So I'm not saying you could do this on FanDuel, but on DraftKings, you can pair Charles and Ware up, and I'm pretty sure it'll save you money because I'm pretty sure it's cheap over there. But that's just an advice I give my DraftKings players out there. It wouldn't be bad to pair them, but it could be really high GPP strategy. But to be honest, I don't mind Spencer Ware more than Jamal Charles right now versus New Orleans. New Orleans is awful. I mean, this defense is just, well, like they say, it's course filled. I mean, first the running back, they're just I can't say it anymore, man. It's just Jonathan Stewart got 2 touchdowns last week. So it's the what's their name? The Kansas City Chiefs can get in the red zone. I think Spencer Ware or Jamal Charles can get touchdowns, but it's more of a GPP play because they give up multiple touchdowns. Kevin Coleman got 3 touchdowns. Melvin Gordon got 2 touchdowns. Jonathan Stewart got 2 touchdowns. So you look at that, you can see multiple touchdowns from those players. But again, it's more of a GPP play. And that's the thing. You have to follow the field right now because I don't know what everybody really wants to do. So, like, I always try to balance out what people say because it'll give me an idea if it's more a very low-owned GPP play or not. But right now, from what I'm hearing, a lot of people are going to be targeting against the New Orleans Saints with the Kansas City run game. So, and another player I wanted to mention, sorry I'm mentioning a lot of mid-tier players, which you guys didn't like, but Matt Jones versus Detroit, I have to mention that. And it's just unreal. I mean, Detroit's defense is just awful. I mean, Matt Jones, 6,700. He's staring at us right in the face, you know, and I hate to miss out on him because he did this last year. Everybody got to remember when Matt Jones faced the New Orleans Saints, a really bad run defense, he went off for, like, I think it was, like, 2 touchdowns or something like that, like 150 yards. It was, like, his big breakout game. And I think he could do this week against Detroit Lions. I mean, they're what are they rank right now, Jeff, on
On Roto Grinders, which is, I know they don't do the DVOA on Roto Grinders, they're actually pretty good against the run. They're only giving up 17 points against the run. It's the pass that they're really bad against.
Okay. So, yeah, I mean, like, it's just, to me, Matt Jones, like, that game's going to be a high-scoring game, in my opinion. The Detroit Lions, every week, they allow, I mean, look at what's their name. If Case Keenum can get that team into the red zone, I think Kirk Cousins can. So if Matt Jones gets at the red zone, he's going to run it in. So that's just my ballsy call, you know, Matt Jones a little lower. But like Jason already mentioned the value play I'm going to play. So I don't really have anything more to add to that. But I did want to touch on a question for you, Jeff.
Yeah.
Mike Davis and Sean Groh, what's the situation there since you're a 49ers fan?
Mike Davis actually looked really good in the preseason, and I was excited by him coming into the season. I didn't think that Sean Groh would be as good as he had been earlier in the season. Now, he's kind of fallen off over the last few games. Actually, he's lost a lot of touches, and I think when Hyde got hurt, Davis was actually the one that took over for him. So I think what they're probably going to do is leave Drone in the same position that he was, which is more of the third down sort of scat back, sort of, you know, third down back. And they'll put Mike Davis in the Carlos Hyde role, which obviously will vault his usage up tremendously. Now, I don't know how he's going to play necessarily in a real live game, but like I said, he did look good in preseason. He looked decent last week. They were getting blown out by the time he came into the game, so they kind of abandoned the run game a little bit. But Mike Davis is definitely, I believe he's min value on FanDuel, if I'm not mistaken. I believe he's only 4,500 if I'm looking at this correctly. I think so, yeah. So I think he's definitely a good value play if you're looking to go cheap at running back. And in the Chip Kelly offense, I mean, they love to run the ball. I mean, even when they were losing to the Bills last week, I kept watching them, like, why aren't they throwing the ball? They're still running the ball, and they're down by, you know, 15, 20 points. They're just going to run the ball. That's all they're going to do. So if you look for someone that's really cheap and get a lot of usage, I think Mike Davis could be a good call.
Yeah, I like it. He's 4,500. What more could you ask for?
Yep, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
I mean, and the thing is, I don't know if, what's his name, Gerald McCoy is going to play this game. So if Gerald McCoy is out, I mean, I like Mike Davis. So, yeah, I mean, 4,500, you need, what, 9 points to meet cash game value and about 13 points. But yeah, so I like that call quite a bit. It just, I want, like I said, it's really early in the week, so we have to wait to see what Chip Kelly says he's going to do. And that's what I like about the media. They ask Chip Kelly a lot of questions because everybody knows Chip Kelly's crazy. He just throws out random things. And the thing is, if he says Mike Davis is going to start, I agree with 100% of what you said, Jeff. Chandra will be a third down running back. It'll be kind of like a Matt Jones, Chris Thompson thing, you know. So, 4,500, it doesn't hurt. But like I said, there's this is the thing. This week, there's a lot of value. Last week, there was no value. So it's kind of like a switcheroo now, you know?
Exactly.
Yay!
Jason loves his value. All right, I got two guys that I want to mention. I actually mentioned these same two guys last week, and they did fairly decent for me. And that's Giovanni Bernard and James White. Both of them have been stealing touches from the incumbent starter. Jeremy Hill, of course, is the starter necessarily in Cincinnati. But Giovanni Bernard has been stealing touches from him. He actually had 19 touches last game, and he had, I believe, 15 touches the game previous. He's also been getting red zone looks. He could have had a much bigger game. He actually had, I believe, two straight carries in the red zone at the 1 yard line and couldn't get in. Why are you laughing?
Because I watched those three carries that he had at the red zone.
I know. I was.
Dude.
Were they that bad or something? Like, I didn't.
It was like a little peek.
Yeah, first and goal on the one, three straight Giovanni runs. They couldn't get him in. I was upset. I'm like, come on, man, get like a yard. It's all you need to do is get a yard. But yeah, they weren't able to get it in.
You know what I was thinking? I was like, they should just have like the lineman pick him up and throw him. Maybe he'll run it in that way. You know? And I was on Giovanni Bernard last week too, like on my draft team. I was like, come on, get in. Because I'm like, they're really gonna run it in with Giovanni Bernard. What the? Let's do it. Let's go. And next thing I know, it's like, bing, 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 bing. No, nothing.
Yeah, exactly. But the important thing there is he did get the looks. I think against Cleveland, he might have some better success. Uh-huh. So I think Gio's a good call. I think I also like James White because he is also not only has he out-touched LeGarrette Blount over the past 2 weeks since Brady's been back, he's actually out-snapped him as well. He's been on the field a lot more. I mean, you're telling me you're going to be a receiving running back in an offense that passes 60% of the time, you're going to have value, especially when that quarterback is named Tom Brady. I think the two touchdowns he had last week were a little fluky, but I think when you're getting as many looks as he is, I think he had 7 rushing attempts and he had 9 targets. So we're looking at 16 opportunities in a Patriots offense going up against the Pittsburgh Steelers, which, you know, they don't have a very good pass defense. I think James White can definitely be a good value play as well.
Yeah, I like him on drafting more than anything. He's a DraftKings play for me. You know, I mean, you can use him in GPP if you want on FanDuel, but to me, he's all DraftKings.
Exactly.
Can I touch on that Giovanni Bernard thing?
Yep, go ahead.
No, you can't touch on that. No, you can't touch it. Stop touching.
So the funny thing is that you say Giovanni Bernard. I honestly, and I don't mean to disagree with you, Jeff, but I don't think this is a Gio game. The spread is a -10 right now, and I think that it's going to be more of a Jeremy Hill game. And
Is Jeremy Hill healthy right now? Is Jeremy Hill healthy? That's the problem. That's the thing I'm worried about.
That is true. I haven't double checked on that, but I will check later on. I'll tweet it out to you, Jeff Lambert. But
are you gonna admit that you're wrong? Is that what you're saying?
I haven't. Hey, calm down. But you know, this seems like a Jeremy Hill game. Like this Cleveland pass defense is horrible, and so is the run defense. Give credit to that too. But the thing is, like, they get down to the red zone, Jeremy Hill can run it in. I mean, I don't know why they were running it with Giovanni Bernard, but I think they kind of learned their lesson last week that they're not going to do it. So, I mean, it's just according from what I researched is that Jeremy Hill gets about 4 more points when the spread is -10. And those 4 points are pretty big. So I kind of like Jeremy Hill in this game. So it just could be a Jeremy Hill versus Giovanni Bernard, but depends which way you want to play it. Because, like you said, Giovanni Bernard been getting a lot of touches. And the thing is, people think Cleveland, like, sucks on offense, but they've been keeping the offense pretty – they've been scoring on a lot of these games. So they can keep it pretty close against Cincinnati because Cincinnati's defense is awful too.
Agreed. There is one more guy that I actually forgot that I wanted to mention too, and that's kind of depended on some injury news. I read today that LeSean McCoy injured his hamstring. So if he does miss this game, Mike Gillisley is going to be a tremendous value. He actually came in towards the end of the game last week, you know, because they were blowing him out, and to give LeSean McCoy a breather. And he ended up having six rushes for 61 yards and a rushing touchdown against my lowly 49ers. He gets the lowly Miami defense this week. So I think if LeSean McCoy is definitely ruled out, I love me some Mike Gillisley at only at 5.3. What do y'all think of Gillisley, Jason?
I don't mind him. I'm probably not going to play him for cash games, though, because, I don't think they'll use him the same way they use LeSean McCoy. Like, LeSean McCoy can catch and run, and he can go in between tackle, outside the tackle. He does it all. He's Mr. Amazing right now. And I don't think they'll use him the same way, you know? So I don't mind him for GPPs. Like, I don't think I'll be playing him in GPPs, actually, but if you want to, go ahead. But I just believe there's other value elsewhere. I mean, you said he was 5,300?
Yep, 5.3.
I mean, go up 300, and you got Duffy's Roger just 40 riders, so I'd rather have that.
All right, Gerson, what do you think of Gillisley?
I won't play him. I'm just kidding. I don't mind him, but at the same time, it's LeSean McCoy. I mean, the guy we saw, he had a torn ACL when he was on the floor last week, and then on next thing you know, it's like, we're like, oh, okay, cool. He got me 20 points. I'll take that. Next thing you know, after halftime, he goes and gets me another touchdown. I'm like, okay. Apparently, I mean, but you know, and that's the thing people need to realize. It's practice. If the player doesn't feel something right, they tell the coach is going to take him out right away, you know? So, you got to follow up on the news, so whatever.
All right. I think we beat the running backs to death. Now let's go ahead and jump to the wide receiver position here at the top. Of course, we got Julio Jones at 9,200. Antonio Brown, in my personal opinion, is a little bit overpriced at 9,000 because of Landry Jones's, you know, quarterback in this game. We got A.J. Green at the 8,500. We got Allen Robinson. We got Mike Evans. And I'll put Amari Cooper in that top tier as well. Jason, are there any of these receivers here in the top tier we're looking at, or are you looking elsewhere?
Top tier, I like Julio Jones. You know, just like you said, you mentioned him, Julio Jones. No, he's out for the season. His volume is amazing. And if you're saying that at 9,200 he's too much, he was 8,500 last week against the Seattle Seahawks, and he crushed value. He did amazing. So he's getting targets, he's getting volume. To me, he's my plug-and-play at cash game. You have to have Julio Jones this week if you want to cash. And he's this week, Antonio Brown. Please don't play Antonio Brown. I don't know if you've noticed, but without Big Ben, Antonio Brown just sucks. He's horrible. I understand he's at home, but I don't know if you've just – go watch Landry play during the preseason, and then come back at me and say, yeah, I actually like Antonio Brown. It's just, it's impossible for me. I won't do it, especially in cash game. You know, my other top play for cash, I like A.J. Green. You know, he's a great play. He'll get targets, he'll get volume. And he's playing here. Thurston, you are you eating like a piece of candy or what? What's going on over there?
No, I'm listening. I already know. Like, I'm preparing myself for the next play. So
we just hear some.
Are you eating a Snickers?
We hear some scratching. That's what he's talking about. So he just put a taco in your mouth.
I'm waiting for the next play. Like I said, I already know who the next play is going to be. So I'm gonna go watch what's on my TiVo, and I'll come back after that.
All right. So, A.J. Green and Julio Jones. I'd rather pay up for Julio Jones. A.J. Green is a great GPP play, in my opinion. So this is the moment of the show, guys, that we've all been waiting for. The floor is yours. Jeff Lambert, go ahead. Make the next play.
All right, so everybody knows my man crush on Mike Evans, of course. The guy's a target monster. You know, he's getting, you know, 18 targets against Arizona, 14 versus the LA Rams. You know, he got 11 versus Denver. He got 12 versus Carolina. He's on pace, I think, to have as many targets as Julio Jones did last year, which I think he had over 200 targets. So anytime you're getting targeted that much, you're going to be a DFS type of play. He's $8,000. He's going up against my 49ers, of course, with their, you know, awful defense that's been well documented. And the fact that Vincent Jackson has been put on IR, you know, he wasn't getting a ton of targets, but he was taking some of the red zone looks away from Mike Evans. I think Mike Evans is probably the top play of the day for me. I do love Julio at 9,200, but I think if I can, you know, if I can't fit Julio into a lineup for $8,000, I love me some Mike Evans going up against my team. So yeah, definitely that's my top play of the day. Gerson, I'll go ahead and let you talk next.
No, that's it. We're done.
I'm done. Mike Evans.
Okay. Damn it, I owe Jason $100.
Okay. Yes. Yeah.
Okay, so basically, I don't hear nobody talking about him, and I don't know why. Honestly, it's just, to me, I think he'll be the lowest on the top tier, and I really, really like him, and I'm going to stack him. Blake Bortles and Allen Robinson. I love Allen Robinson this week against Oakland at home. Oakland DBOA is 26th versus wide receiver 1. And they allow so man, it pains me to. Now I know how you feel sometimes, Jeff. You know, but Oakland is just horrible. They allow about 274 yards to wide receivers, and I think it's just okay. And that's the thing people got to realize. I'm a GPP player, so I try to find a wide receiver that are lower owned. Of course, I will not brag that I was on Odell Beckham last week, which I wasn't. So. Yeah, but I think he can be this week Odell Beckham. He'll be low-owned, you know, kind of like that one week also that, what's his name, Julio Jones went off, you know?
Right.
So it's just, that's my call right there. It's going to be, excuse me, sorry. Yeah.
All right.
Allen Robinson, and his salary is what?
8,400.
Yeah, 8,400.
Yeah, I like the Allen Robinson call as well. I do like him going up against the Oakland Raiders. Not only is it the Oakland Raiders and they're, you know, not very good against the pass, but they're also playing a 1 p.m. East Coast time, which tends to hurt the West Coast teams because it's actually 10 a.m. for them. They haven't really woken up yet, so sometimes when they make that trip across, you know, across the country, it is difficult on them. So I think Allen Robinson hopefully finally breaks out. I actually have Bortles and Robinson in my Dynasty Football League, so they've been killing me so far this year. I'm hoping that they do break out. So Allen Robinson, definitely a good play. I think he will be low-owned just because he's been burning everybody so far this week or this year. All right, so now let's go ahead and look at some of the mid-tier guys here. We've got a couple injuries to look at as well, but we've got Brandon Cooks in here. We got Marvin Jones, Brandon Marshall. T.Y. Hilton's got a hip issue. Terrell Pryor is in this mid-tier. He's got a hamstring issue. We can even throw Crabtree and Baldwin in this mid-tier here. Jason, who do you like for the cash games in mid-tier? Are you not looking at the mid-tier?
Oh, gosh, it's so hard. Like, I tried, and at mid-tier, what's mid-tier again? Like, between what, like 7K and 6K?
It's probably 7K and above. I think once you get under 7K, you're looking at a little bit more of a value guy. Maybe 6,500 and above.
Yeah, I mean, I guess mid-tier for me, I like Amari Cooper. He has a matchup. I mean, Pro Football Focus has him rated pretty high. I believe he's like top 15, top 10 wide receiver. It's against Jacksonville. As you can tell, Jacksonville can't defend the pass. And even though they got that rookie cornerback, Ramsey or whatever.
Right.
He's still trying to get a hold of the system, trying to get used to NFL speed, and you know it's going to take time. And the Raiders just love to run the ball. I mean, they can't run the ball right now. If Murray comes back, I actually think it's a better play for them because it'll help them be more balanced, and the Jaguars will actually have to honor the run. And they can throw the ball. And Cooper, I mean, he's been getting targeted. Like, I think he got like over 13 targets. And that was like, which is weird because I think he had 9 targets and 9 receptions at halftime last week. And he only got 1 reception afterward, and he got 4 more targets after halftime. So he could have gotten a lot more, but you know his targets are there. The last two games have been double digit
you know, 13-12, and he's gotten over 100 yards in a row now, and he's getting looked at in the red zone. So I mean, I like Amari Cooper at 70. I think he's 7,900. I'm looking at it right now. Yeah, he's 7,900. So I'll take it. I know he's a little bit below Mike Evans, but I mean, you're not paying up for 9,200.
Yeah, I definitely like Amari Cooper, and I actually have Amari Cooper in that same dynasty league, so I got a lot tied up in this game with Bortles, Allen Robinson, and Amari Cooper. So I hope this is a shootout right here, because my dynasty's team, I'm just kind of vent here a little bit. I have the second most points in my league. It's a 12-man dynasty league. The second most total points, and I'm 1-5. Because every single week, I played the guy that has the most points. I played a guy this week that I should have beat. He had Kenny freaking Britt starting for one of his guys because he had some guys on a bye, who of course goes for like three touchdowns or something ridiculous, and I end up losing because of that. I played the guy that had Ben Roethlisberger against the Chiefs, who had five touchdowns before halftime. I just had the worst luck, so I definitely need a win this week, and Allen Robinson, Amari Cooper, and Blake Bortles will go a long way to that, making that happen. All right, so now that I'm off my soapbox, Kirsten, who you got for GPPs in this mid-tier?
Okay, so I already know I'm gonna get some hate for this. So yeah, I'm still gonna play him. Brandon Marshall for Baltimore. I like Brandon Marshall. I know they have Geno Smith throwing the ball, but the thing is, Jimmy Smith got hurt last week, and he's their best cornerback. After that, they're just even worse what they were before. But Jimmy Smith is the only cornerback I have confidence to even slowing down any wide receiver on the cornerback. So Brandon Marshall, he can be very he's going to get targeted a ton. He's only 7,400, you know. And Geno Smith loved throwing the ball to Brandon Marshall. And I think he can be very low owned too, because they're just going to say, oh, Geno Smith. And I feel like I'm mentioning Geno Smith way too damn much. But, yeah, I like Brandon Marshall. He's kind of 7,400. That's the thing. A lot of these mid-tier plays, they have a very tough matchup. So I'm thinking more than anything, I'm going to be paying up for wide receiver this week. And I think that's what the whole field is going to do, pay up for wide receivers. So last week was pay up for running back. This week it's pay up for wide receivers.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. Pay up for receivers this week. And I don't hate your Brandon Marshall call. I just, you know, hate the fact that you keep mentioning Geno Smith on this podcast.
I literally just felt like three of our viewers turned off the podcast.
including Geno Smith himself.
Oh.
All right.
I'm going to give him a shout-out tonight on Twitter.
Yeah, I would say, listen to the podcast. We mentioned you about 20 times. All right. Let me see who I have. Right. For my mid-tier guy here, I think, let's see, who did I have as my mid-tier? I had Marvin Jones Jr. I think a lot of people will be off of him after his last, I believe, 2 weeks. He struggled. The Redskins, though, as we know, are not a very good defense. And Matthew Stafford has been playing really well. I think last week he spread it around a ton. Golden Tate came out of nowhere after struggling all season. Had a huge game. But I know everyone will be off Marvin Jones Jr., but I've watched this Redskins team. You know, I live in Washington, so I see them firsthand. And I think Marvin Jones Jr. is going to have another big game. They are at home in Detroit. So I think overall the team plays better there. I think Marvin Jones Jr. has a big game. I think he's more GPP than he is cash. He's a little bit too up and down for me in a cash game. But I think in a GPP, I think he's got the upside. I mean, he had a 35-point game against the Green Bay Packers earlier in the season. I think that's his ceiling. I think he can probably get you in the mid-20s this week against the Redskins defense. What do you think of Marvin Jones Jr., Gerson?
I love the call. People are worried about Norman shadowing him. But like I said, I don't know the news on Norman. Like, he played last game, right?
Yes, did he play last game? He did play last game, yes.
Okay. So, yeah, I mean, like, he should be good to go, but he'll be shadowing. That's the thing with the Redskins. They tell you sometimes they're going to shadow someone. And then next thing you know, they're not shadowing him. So, but I do see them. That's the thing. Golden Tate is just as good as Marvin Jones. I mean, not as good as Marvin Jones. I think Marvin Jones better, but it's just they're very – I don't know how to explain it. It's like you have to pick one, and that's who Stafford's going to target. So it's whoever Josh Norman's on, it's just, you know, the other one's going to do good. But I like Marvin Jones this week. I think a lot of people are going to be pissed off of last week how he let them down. So the ownership should be very low, and he can explode again, man. Like, that Washington Redskins defense is awful, man. Yeah, they suck.
They are pretty bad. And historically speaking, I know, like, Matthew Stafford before this year always had Calvin Johnson, so it's kind of a skewed stat a little bit. But every time that Matthew Stafford had a game where he didn't target his number one receiver, which was Calvin Johnson for so many years, the very next game, he targeted the hell out of him. I think I saw a stat where, like, anytime Calvin Johnson had less than 7 targets in a game, the very next game he had 15-plus. So not that Marvin Jones is, you know, anywhere near Calvin Johnson's, you know, status. I think Marvin Jones will sort of remind Matthew Stafford, hey, I'm here. I'm your number one receiver. You should look my way. And I think Stafford, you know, he's known for forcing the ball to his number one receiver, just, you know, getting the ball to his number one guy. So I think he forces it a little bit to Marvin Jones this week, regardless of who Josh Norman is covering.
Yep, I like it.
All right, now let's go look at some of these really cheap guys down here. I see a ton of injury news down here. We got Deshaun with a shoulder. We got Jordan Matthews with a knee. Steve Smith is still supposed to be out. Travis Benjamin, Alan Hearns. These are all the guys that are injured. Philip Dorsett. With all these injuries, we should have some decent value. Who are you looking at down here in the bottom tier here, Jason, for your cash games?
For cash games, I'm trying to I'm trying to get my value at running back. But if you really want to get some value at wide receiver, you can go, I believe his name is Humphreys, and he plays for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He's taking over Vincent Jackson's spot, and he's actually not a bad play. If I look at my notes here, Humphreys, he gets targets, he gets volume when he's on the field. He had a 12-reception game a couple weeks back, so he can get it done. He's not a horrible player. He's actually decent, so I don't mind him. He's 4.9, pretty cheap. My other value play, you know, it's like, for cash games, I don't feel comfortable paying down. I honestly don't. I don't see a wide receiver. Last week for me, it was Michael Thomas, and that's because it was a shootout and it was at New Orleans. But this week, I don't think I'll be paying down, but that's as cheap as I'll go, or that's the only player I see. There's another player I see, but I like him more for GPPs.
Okay. Kirsten, who you like?
Well, I know we're about to end the wide receiver session, but I just wanted to mention, because Jason mentioned early on, nobody's going to play Antonio Brown. So I do agree with him. One of the more interesting stats on him, like everybody's talking about it, last year, Big Ben, when he was injured, Antonio Brown averaged 4.2 catches and for 58 yards and 0 touchdowns. And the thing is, Michael Vick did play in some of those games, but Landry did too. So I have no confidence at all on Antonio Brown. But anyways, other than that, right now I'm looking at this guy, and nobody's talking about him, but he's facing Indiana. He plays the slot. Last week, he got 9 targets. He got 8 receptions, 133 yards, and a touchdown. And he's just coming back from injuries, and it's Kendall Wright. I mean, before, you know, Tajay Sharpe existed, Kendall Wright was that Tajay Sharpe. And Mariota against Indiana, I can see him having a big game. Like I said, I think Mariota's a good GPP play, and he's really cheap. He is, sorry about that, I always forget to mention the prices, $5,000. With $5,000, but like Jason said, and I'm agreeing too, I don't think this is the week to pay down for wide receivers. I think it's actually the other way around, to pay up for wide receiver. But if you want to be contrarian and, you know, load up on your running back a little bit more, play Kendall Wright. I like Kendall Wright this week.
Okay, yeah, I'm with you on that call. I saw that on some of your top plays that you were releasing earlier in the day. I got one guy that I want to talk about, but before I get into that one guy, I just wanted to go into one more stat on Antonio Brown, a stat that I heard that's kind of crazy. Did you know that Antonio Brown has never in his career caught a touchdown pass from any other quarterback other than Ben Roethlisberger? That's a pretty crazy stat.
Holy
but
crap.
Yeah. So, I mean, this guy's got a ton of touchdowns, but he has none of them with any other quarterback but Ben. So just keep that in mind if you want to pay for that $9,000 salary for Antonio Brown. You might not see him catch any touchdowns this game either. All right, so now getting into my play. Mine's more of a GPP play. I think he's got a ton of upside, but he is super, super risky. And that's it's going back to my homerism one more time. That's Torrey Smith. Let me preface it by saying I am not a Torrey Smith fan. I never was. I didn't want to trade for him or pick him up originally when we got him. And I've never been an advocate of Torrey Smith being, you know, anything but a deep threat. But I can't ignore the numbers. He had 7 targets last week. I did watch every snap of this game. Colin Kaepernick just missed Torrey Smith on 2 deep balls that would have gone for touchdowns had they connected on those deep balls. He did catch the 1 touchdown on a deep ball. He had 3 receptions for 76 yards and a touchdown last week of 15 points. They're going to be playing at home. He's only 5,600. I think Kaepernick still wants to air the ball out. He'll still throw the ball deep. He'll take his shots. And basically, he has to connect on just one of those passes, and he'll hit value. I think he does connect at least 1 time on those passes, and he does get his value. I'm actually going to predict that Torrey Smith gets over 100 yards in this game and at least a touchdown. I'm going to let y'all pick this apart. We'll start with you, Jason. What do you think of Torrey Smith?
I don't mind him. I mean, he seems to get targeted by Colin Kaepernick. Kaepernick doesn't like to throw the short route. Kaepernick, you know, he's all out. He likes to throw deep, and he's all about getting his fancy stats, and I know that he's going to look for him. I believe Curley didn't do so well in the last game, and that's probably why. I mean, he's looking for a deep ball, and he's looking for Torrey Smith, and I like the call. I mean, if that's your bold call of the game or of the week, I like it. I don't mind it. I have my own one, but, you know, that's just my take on Torrey Smith. That's your take on Torrey Smith. You know what I mean.
Right, right. Yeah, just to further drive home your point with Kaepernick not throwing the short ball, this is the first game all year that Carlos Hyde was not targeted once in the passing game. Kaepernick just does not throw to his running backs very much. I think Gore, you know, when Gore was there, it was his lowest years as far as reception totals. You know, when Al Smith was there, Gore had, you know, a ton of receptions. But when Kaepernick was the quarterback, they almost never threw to the running back position. So Kaepernick really does look for the deep ball, you know. So I think Torrey Smith does have value in the sense that, you know, he has that tremendous upside. Now, he could go out and get you 0 because he did do that a couple times, you know, last year. And even I think this year he had a game where he had 0.08, and he also had a 0 against Arizona. So he's definitely capable of putting up zeros. But I think the upside is definitely there. Gerson, you want to weigh in on Torrey Smith?
Nah.
All right, so Gerson's going to pass. The guy that's going with Geno Smith this week is going to pass on Torrey Smith. All right.
look, man, it's just, okay, 2 reception, 13 yards, 3 reception, 55 yards, 3 reception, 35 yards, 1 reception, 3 yards, 3 receptions last week, 76 yards, 1 touchdown. So we're depending on a guy to get, catch a freaking football. So the most receptions he had in a single season in the game is 3 receptions. You know, I can't depend on that, man. It's just, that it as well. I mean, like, oh man, I'm sorry. I mean, I know Tampa Bay is awful pass defense, but it's just, I don't know, man. Like I said, this week is the week to pay up. So to have Torrey Smith on my list of wide receivers is kind of like pushing it a little bit, but I understand, man. Like, it could be a good call. It could pay off, you know. But I think,
like I said, definitely a high risk play. I admit it's, you know, he could go out and get you 0. I think the numbers you were calling out, of course, with Blaine Gabbert. Gabbert's not really a quarterback that takes deep shots. He plays a little too conservative, in my opinion. So he's definitely a risky call, but he could be that lottery ticket if you wanted to put him in your lineups.
Yeah, my lottery ticket. I'm just gonna say this right now. It's Allen Hurns at 6,000. I think a lot of people are just gonna ignore him. They're gonna go to Robinson, and I like Allen Hurns. You know, at 6,000, he can catch. He can. He's there. He's done it before, and he can do it again. I honestly believe he'll do it this week. The matchup's there, and I like him at 6,000.
Agreed. So I think basically the moral of this story that so far in this podcast is play everybody from that Jacksonville Oakland Raiders game and make Geno Smith your quarterback.
Play everybody on Jeff Dynasty League, everybody.
Yeah, exactly. So help me out here, guys. Help me out. I need some wins. All right, now let's go look at the tight end position now. Of course, at the top, you got Rob Gronkowski. He's a beast. He's always going to be at the top. Jordan Reed, everything that I'm hearing and reading in Washington is that he should be, or that he's got a chance to be cleared for the game in Detroit. So he's still a top-tier guy. Jimmy Graham has, you know, moved back into that top tier. Delanie Walker has been sort of disappointing lately, but he's still up there in the top-tier area. And Travis Kelce is probably where it cuts off. Are there any of these tight ends that you're paying for, Jason, in your cash games?
No, not really. Like, I'm not paying for Gronk. He's too much. He's $8,500. And at $8,500, I can get me some A.J. Green, which I like a lot better. For tight end, I'm going cash games. I can't decide yet. I looked at it for literally, like, 10 minutes, and I looked at stats and everything, and everybody's going to hate me for this, but I came back to Delanie Walker because Indiana, they just allowed like 20-something points or something like that to that. I don't even know the name of tight end, but it was a Texans tight end. And I think Walker can do it. And, you know, they're projected for 25 points, and they're at home. So I like that a lot. I believe they're at home, I think.
The Titans, yes, they are at home. Yep. The Colts are traveling to Tennessee.
So, I mean, I'll take that any day. And I like Delanie Walker. I know he's $6,500. You're kind of paying up. But if you don't want to pay up, you want to pay down a cash game, you can always just go back to the well with, what's his name? Kyle Rudolph. He's $5,400, and he gets targeted in the red zone, and he gets reception. And we all know Bradford loves his tight end.
Yep, I agree.
We know that we know that Zachary Smith is Bradford, that's for sure.
Yeah, exactly. And I miss Bradford, too, because I have Ertz on my same dynasty team. So, Bradford, come back to the Eagles, please, so I can get some dynasty points. All right, Gerson.
Dude, your team sucks.
Yeah, I know. It's so bad right now. My team looks good on paper, but I just can't get a damn victory. I did pick up Cameron Brate this week, so hopefully he can do something better than Ertz has been for me. All right, Gerson, you're up. So what are these top tight ends? I know you're a guy that doesn't like to pay up for tight end. Are you taking these tight ends in your GPP lineups?
I'm going to stack Rob Gronkowski with Tom Brady, and then I'm going to plug in two very good value, like at running back and wide receiver, and then hope that I can fill in the rest. So that's the strategy I'll do. But also on DraftKings, you can use Rob Gronkowski in the flex and then pay down for another tight end, which is Jack Doyle at $2,500. And that's coming to my next play. Can't believe I'm saying this, but I'm going to play Jack Doyle this week. He's really cheap. He's $4,700. He did good last week. I mean, it's just Dwayne Allen right now is dealing with, I believe, a sprained ankle, if I'm correct.
Yes, ankle.
So he's questionable for this week. But Jack Doyle, let me see, I'm trying to pull this up. Okay, I thought that's how you spell his name. Yeah, last week he got four receptions, 53 yards, and one touchdown. And he got targeted four times, and he was sharing that. He was on the field for 66 of the 74 snaps. So, I mean, if Dwayne Allen is out, he could be a good play at that price. So, I mean, I understand Tennessee Titans are ranked 18th overall versus tight ends, but that's going to be, you know, that Tennessee's going to score. So Luck is going to have to throw the ball. But I like Jack Doyle for that price at minimum, like $4,700.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. I like Jack Doyle as well. I think Philip Dorsett is also questionable for this game. So that's another target, you know, he's not really a target monster, but he's another option in that passing game that won't be there. So you're basically looking at T.Y. Hilton and Jack Doyle as the targets for Andrew Luck. So I think Jack Doyle is definitely a good call, especially if Dwayne Allen is out for this game. I got two tight ends I'm looking at this week. One of them I already mentioned I picked up in my Dynasty League. We're just going to keep talking about that. So hopefully I can get a victory this week. But that's Cameron Brate for Tampa Bay. I think you know, Vincent Jackson is down. You know, he's out in IR. Humphreys is there, but he, you know, he's just entering the starting lineup. I think he's been their number three all year. Cameron Braid has been sort of that safety blanket for Winston, you know, for the last few games. And he's also the red zone target option as well. I think a few games ago he had 10 targets. He had 8 targets versus Denver. He did struggle a little bit against Carolina with only 3 targets. But I think Winston will look his way again. And I think they will be in the red zone quite a bit against my terrible 49ers. So I think Cameron Braid could potentially get a touchdown this week. So Cameron Braid is on my list. And then, of course, I'm going back to the well that I've been using for the past few weeks, and that's Hunter Henry. Going up against Atlanta. Atlanta is the worst team versus the tight end position. They continue to be the worst team. They just cannot cover the tight end position. And this guy, even with Antonio Gates back in the lineup, he had 17 points last week. He had 8 targets, 6 receptions for 83 yards and a touchdown. He's now scored in 3 straight games. He's got Phillip Rivers' trust, you know, which is a very important thing because Rivers will look to you no matter if you're covered or not. If you look at some of Gates' touchdowns over the years, he just throws it to Gates and, you know, says, Gates, go up and get it. So Hunter Henry is definitely a good play for me as well at 5,800. What do you think of those two tight ends, Gerson?
I like Henry, but I don't like Braid. It has nothing against who Braid is and what the opportunity or anything, but I just don't think he has a GPP upside for me. I mean, he had one good game this year so far, I believe, but... it's just, to me, I think they're just going to throw the ball to Mike Evans and Adam Humphrey, and then they're just going to run the ball with Roger. But I really do like that Hunter Henry call because a lot of people are actually talking about him, and I didn't get why, but it's just the matchup is there. And Bill Rivers, for some reason, I mean, it's not the same. He's just different. It's just, he's targeting those tight ends a lot, and Gates an old man now, so, yeah.
Gates been an old man for like the last 5 years. I don't know how he's still playing football.
I know, right?
He's trying to break that touchdown record.
Yeah, that must be what it is. He's going for something because I don't know why. I mean, he still has his moments. He has his flashes in the pan, but I think he's on his last leg, and Hunter Henry is sort of the heir apparent, and he's showing that he can definitely do it. All right, let's go ahead and jump into defenses now. This week we got a little bit more options than we did last week, I think. At the top, we got the Bengals going up against the lowly Browns. You got the Vikings are still at the top there. We got the Seahawks, the Ravens, the Bills, the Cardinals. So a lot of good defenses that we can pay up for if we'd like to. Jason, who are you looking at for your cash games? What defense are you looking at?
For cash games, I mean, you can go with the field, and people are going to play the Bengals at home. To me, I just saw how horrible Landry is, and I'm just going to go back to the Patriots at for 4,400. They're dirt cheap. I know they're on the road, which kind of sucks, but I just think, like I said, Landry's horrible. It's Landry. He's just horrible. Like, what makes it worse is that mustache. I swear, man, I don't know. It's horrible. So, like, I'm just saying, like, and, you know, I really hope Landry doesn't go off for, like, 30 points and I just, you know, put my foot in my mouth and everything. And but, you know, I'm pretty sure the Patriots are going to get at least 10 points out of this game. And, I mean, they have been getting points in the last two games. I mean, they got 10 points against Cleveland, which is not a great offense. They got 20 against Houston, which wasn't a great offense either. And Buffalo, 7. So they get their points. I mean, they get sacks, they get interceptions, they get, you know, they get stats, and so that's what we're looking for, and that's what we want, you know, and that's how a defense does well. And they're only 4,400. That's below, I mean, that's value right there. So I like it. I don't like to pay up a lot for defense, but if I have to, I will. But this week isn't the week to pay up for defense, in my opinion.
All right. All right. So you're looking at the Patriots. I like that call as well. And then going back to the putting your foot in your mouth, I think when you're in this business, that's what we do a lot. I think a couple weeks ago I made a big stink about starting Mike Evans versus Denver. I was all over it, thinking that no one would own him and that he'd be awesome. And, of course, that did not happen. So putting your foot in your mouth is basically something that we have to get used to in this business. All right, Gerson, let's put your foot in your mouth now. Who are you going with for your defense this week?
Yeah. Okay, so at defense, I like the Denver Broncos, actually, against Brock Osweiler.
Monday night game.
Well, then I'm going to go pick on another guy, a rookie quarterback, Carson Wentz versus the Minnesota Vikings. I like the Minnesota Vikings. I mean, I know they're on the road, but still, it's Carson Wentz. He's not that great. He's a good quarterback, I guess, but he's not great for me. So I'm going to pick on the Vikings. I mean, they've been a top three defense for the first 5 weeks, 6 weeks. I think they can do it again.
Yeah, Vikings definitely are a good call there. I think with Philly, I think, you know, Carson Wentz is good, but he's still a rookie. And I think the Vikings would make, I mean, they made Cam Newton look bad. They made a lot of quarterbacks look bad. I think they're definitely doing the same thing to Carson Wentz. So I like both those calls, the Patriots and the Vikings. There's two other defenses that I like. We mentioned the Bengals too. Bengals obviously are the, you know, the popular play because they're playing against the Browns. But I like the Bills going to Miami. Miami's offense is just horrible, and the Bills have been really good lately. They've shut down some pretty good offenses. They had 17 points versus the Rams. They had 15 versus New England. They had 22 versus Arizona. Surprisingly, they only put up 6 versus my 49ers. I don't know how that exactly happened, but they did only put up 6. But I think with the Miami Dolphins, I think they could definitely put up some points there. And then the other one I'm looking at is going to be a sort of contrarian to what Gerson is doing. He's playing Geno Smith. I'm playing defense that's playing Geno Smith. I'm going with the Baltimore Ravens. The Ravens haven't been a great defense this year, but they've been good enough. They did have a couple of good games earlier in the season. They had the 13 and the 12-point game versus Jacksonville and Cleveland. 9 points against Washington's not horrible. 7 points against the Giants, which it would have been a lot better if they hadn't given up those two big touchdowns to Odell Beckham. But I think the Ravens could be good against Geno Smith and the turnover machine that he is. And still don't know why Chris is playing him, but, you know, it is what it is.
I got a play. It's going to be the Kansas City Chiefs at home against the New Orleans Saints. If they shut down Drew Brees and they make him throw picks after picks, because Brees is not a great player on the road. He's not that amazing. You've seen the road splits, and, I mean, that Kansas City defense at home is pretty amazing, and I believe that they can get interception. Last week, they kind of got the car, and they did a good job of it. So I believe they can do this at Kansas City. And, I mean, I don't know. I think earlier this year when they were at home, they got, like, 29 points. Yeah, they got 29 points.
Yeah.
And they did amazing. So
I don't,
that's my play right there for GPP.
Definitely don't hate that call. I think the Chiefs are definitely sort of coming into their own defensively, and no one will be on them because they are playing the Saints. So they definitely could be a good call there. All right. Anything else y'all wanted to mention with defenses before we close out?
No, I think we about covered everything today.
All right. Yeah, we definitely had more time because we didn't have 2 segments in this podcast, so I wanted to stretch it out just a little bit longer. So I want to thank you both for coming on the podcast again. I'm going to go ahead and give you your Twitters. I'm trying to remember both of them. Go ahead and give me your Twitter, Gerson. What is it? DFS Roundtable 23?
Yep, that's it. Give me an ad.
Yep, definitely add him. He's tweeting out all kinds of good stuff, top plays. NBA starts next week. Gerson does NBA just like I do, so definitely look for some stuff there. Jason, what's your Twitter again?
It's Aguirre, A-G-U-I-R-E, _ Jason, and you'll just find me on Twitter, and you'll see all the awesome tweets that I do about Jeff Lambert being wrong about David Johnson.
All right, that just about wraps it up. Again, guys, you can follow me on Twitter at JeffLambert77. We will see y'all next week. Have a good night.
Team Geno!